Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me? No problem. I didn't use the mic. We're okay, huh? If I don't use the mic, you can hear me? Yeah, I talk loud. All right. Well, how are you?
Good.
How many of you have I met before? We've been here when I've come and been and hung out with you. Raise your hand if we're good. I'm glad to be back with you. I'm glad to hang out with you. I'm very thankful that you've invited me to come, and I'm excited to be with you. And I hope that you guys are having a good summer and things are going well and having fun. And the Lord's moving in your life and doing some good things. And I look forward to getting to be with you for the next couple of weeks. I'm gonna here today, obviously, and then the next 2 weeks I'll be hanging out with you, and we're gonna actually go over a little sermon series. I don't get to do this as often as I would like. It's gonna be a lot of fun for me, but we'll do a little series, and I decided to do a series on peace. We're gonna talk about peace over the next 3 weeks, and today we're gonna talk about three different aspects of peace. And we'll talk about what peace is and things like that. We're going to talk about peace in three different ways. Today we're going to talk about peace with God. And next Sunday we'll talk about peace within ourselves. And then the Sunday after that we'll talk about having peace with the world, or peace with those who are outside of us. And we'll talk about peace in a couple of different ways. And so that's going to be the sermon series for the next couple of weeks. And I hope to see you each week, and hope you come back and hang around. I hope I get to meet you. I'm looking forward to it. Maybe I have some time to eat some lunch with you guys and stuff like that. Today I won't be able to, sadly enough. We have VBS back home at church, First Baptist Church in New Orleans. I'm a member there and teach Sunday school class there and do VBS. And I have to go back and help decorate the VBS room this afternoon. So I won't be able to hang out with you today. But next Sunday I hope to be able to hang on, spend some time with you. But thank you for inviting me. I'm glad to be here. So we're going to talk about peace. Some interesting thoughts here. First, if you're going to talk about peace, you ought to know something about what peace is. Just some ideas about peace, what it is we're talking about. Peace has a couple of different, in my mind, when I'm thinking about peace, is mainly two different aspects to it. One, peace is something to the effect of a kind of a calmness. It's a calm. I got some different words we use to describe peace. But a calmness. Maybe stillness. You know? You're at peace. You're still. There's not a lot of motion when you're at peace. Maybe. Quietness. Peaceful. Something that's serene. These things that we're talking about, this peace, this contentment, and this quietness, has to do with, I said the word contentment, to be content. To be content means that you are satisfied. Like, I'm content. I'm happy. I'm content with what's happening right now. I am happy with that. And I do not have to move from this place to go get something that I desire to make me happy. Like right now, I'm content. I'm happy. I don't have to move. I don't have to do anything. You know? So peace has this idea of this inner kind of peace, of contentment, of satisfaction, where you don't have a lot of movement going on. You're content just to be still and stay. I'm good. And there's another kind of peace, another aspect of peace, and more of kind of an outward aspect of peace that we talked about. And it's being in harmony with others. Being in agreement. Yes, I agree with you. We are at peace. There's no contention here. We are one accord with each other. We are of the same mind. We are saying yes to the same thing. We agree on what is there. We say 2 plus 2 is 4. 2 plus 2 is 4. We agree. Yes. He says yes it is. I say yes. We are on the same team. We have the same, having the same purpose, same goal. We want to accomplish this. We want to build this birdhouse together. That's us, me and you. We're going to build a birdhouse. And we agree that the birdhouse should look like this, and we have the same goal. We know what we want it to look like. We're going to do it. We're going to make it happen. We have the same goal. We have the same agreement on the methods of how it should happen. This should happen. It should take place like this. Go and move forward. And we are in agreement with each other. We're in accord. We're not butting heads together. And so you have this kind of peace where it's an inward peace, ideas of peace that are outward peace. Today we're talking about mainly, we're going to talk about peace with God, having peace with God, which is first and foremost. Having peace with God comes before having peace with anything else. So having peace with God is first and foremost. That's what we're talking about at first. It's the first one on our list. And having peace with God is kind of an outer thing, has more of the aspects of the outer peace, where it's about having the same mindset, being in agreement, saying, yes, I agree with you. And then after that comes to us an inner peace at that time as well. We can pursue that through having peace with God. But having peace with God is first and foremost in our life, as far as having peace in our life. That's a question you got to ask yourself. This is an interesting question I didn't think about too much because I just took it for granted. But the question is, do you want peace in your life? Do you want peace in your life? I'm not just talking about world peace, you know. I'm not just talking about in the suffering in Darfur or, you know, in the conflict in Iraq and that sort of thing. I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about, do you want peace in your life? Do you want to be content? Do you want to be satisfied? Do you want to be in harmony with people around you? Do you want to be in agreement with others? Do you want that? Because I think maybe there are people who don't, who are not interested in peace, who actually like agitation in their life. They enjoy frustration and aggravation and butting heads and conflict. Enjoy that sort of thing. But we are called, at some level, we are called to peace. We are called to peace with God. We are called to have peace within ourselves, a contentment within ourselves, and a call to have peace with others. So I would encourage you to think, am I the kind of person that invites peace into my life? Do I want peace in my life? Or am I the kind of person that seems to gravitate towards aggravation and frustration and strife and chaos and that kind of thing? I know when I was a young man, there was a time in my life where I gravitated towards those things, towards chaos. I didn't want peace in my life. I wanted the loudest, hardest, nastiest music I could listen to. And I wanted to drive my car as fast as I possibly could. And I wanted to get in a fight with whoever I could. And these things, I gravitated towards them as a young man when I was a teenager. And they caused a lot of trouble for me. Caused a lot of trouble, a lot of regrets. A lot of things that I don't want now, that I wish that I wouldn't have done. And I was gravitated towards some of those things. And now, I've gotten a little older. And now, I long for peace. Whenever I hear some loud music, I turn the radio down immediately. It's just so grating on me. I was like, oh, I just need peace in my life. My job is so stressful. And the bills are terrible. And my aggravation with this person and that person, I don't want that. I want peace in my life. And so now, I'm constantly trying to find ways to invite peace in my life. If you listen to my iPod, you probably think it was totally lame. Because it's just all like dreamscape, you know, music with like waterfalls cascading in the background. I'm a total lame-o when it comes to that sort of thing. And I hang out with some of the youth at the church at First Baptist, you know, and I hang out with the youth and we go on the camps and trips like that. And I try to, you know, be a part of what they're doing and they play some loud, nasty music and I try to be a part and stuff, but I just have to get away because I want peace in my life. Sometimes we don't want peace. We want agitation, excitement. Especially when we're young. I know when I was young, I wanted that. And you have to watch that as a young person. You have to be careful of that. So be careful. What kind of person am I? Am I the kind of person that gravitates towards agitation and frustration and things that are abrasive? Or do I gravitate towards gentleness and kindness and things that bring about peace? Do I gravitate towards trying to be in agreement with folks and trying to understand each other? And I'm a person of peace instead of a person of agitation. So that's an interesting question that I wanted you to think about personally in your own life. What kind of person are you in regards to peace? Somebody who pursues peace, or somebody who pursues frustration and those things. I liken to having peace. I start thinking about this inner peace as having like a meal. Like I ate a large meal. You know how after you eat, you sit down, I want to take a nap. I had a like 2-year-old. I had a 3-year-old, and you put food in him, and it's like putting, I don't know, it's like putting energy or gas in a gas. I mean, he just goes. He just immediately, as soon as he eats, he's ready. He's like, wow, just charged up. Especially sugar, right? You need any kind of candy or something, he's, oh, I eat, I want to go sleep. I eat something, I want to go lay down, I'm just chilling out, totally satisfied. I don't want to get up, I don't want to move, I don't want to go anywhere. I'm satisfied, I'm full. I don't have any desire to have to get up and go find something else to eat because I'm good. I'm good right where I am. I don't have to have anything. And that's part of what having that inner peace. I kind of thought about that. Like I'm satisfied. I'm filled up. I'm satiated. I don't need anything else. Because when you have the ambition, when you have, in the Bible called selfish ambition, when you have desires that are working up in you and welling up in you, and you have hunger, right? That is unrest in you. It makes you want to move. It makes you want to go somewhere and do something. I got to go find something because I don't have rest in my life. There's no rest in me. So I got to go find something. The other kind I was likening, of course, to having a friend, having goals, having the same plan of action. We have two parties in disagreement. We have war. We disagree with each other. Saying two countries coming together and saying, we want two different things. Two parties at all. Coming together saying we want two different things in life, we want two different things, our goals, and so now we have to decide who's going to get what they want. And so there's no peace there, there's no accord there. And that's what we have in our life. Where are you on the peaceful scale? Where do you sit on that in your life? Are you constantly at unrest in your life? Are you constantly have turmoil in your inside you? Or you just never satisfied. I'm just never content. I always got to do something. I always got to move. I always got to find something else, something new, because I'm always at unrest in my life. When it comes to people, it's just conflict. I don't agree with them. And we all are like that at some level. Somewhere on the spectrum, we all are like that. We all are at different levels of peace in our life. So we are all hungry here. Say, I'm hungry. Say, I'm hungry.
I'm hungry.
Say, I disagree. Say, I disagree.
I disagree.
Every one of us have this in us, this hunger and this disagreement. Now the question is, and we're talking about today primarily, is this disagreement we have with God. So we have disagreement with God. Every one of us here have disagreed with God. And we have told God, no, I don't agree with you. I'm not on your team. I don't think you are correct. I don't like your goals. Every one of us have said this to God. That's what we call sin. The Bible says, everyone has fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. In Romans 3:23, all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. So every one of us, all of us at one time or another, have looked at God and said, nope. I do not agree. I'm going to butt heads with you. I don't like your purpose. I don't like the way you're going about things, as a matter of fact. I know you have this goal and you're going to try and pursue it. You've got to do these things. I don't like that either. And so we've all told God this thing. And there's where we have this disagreement, this unrest in our relationship with God. And so all of us have this thing where we don't have peace with God. At one time or another, we don't have peace with God. As a matter of fact, the Bible calls us enemies of God. And we will read in Colossians some of that here in just a second. The Bible calls us enemies of God. I like to think of things in terms of relationships lately. These days I think about relationships. Everything. You can almost think of everything in terms of relationships. Like questions. Where are you? Well, that's a relationship question. In relation to that chair, I'm over here. In relation to you, I'm right here. See? We're in relation to each other. Where are you? I'm in this building. In relation to this building, I'm inside this room. You can talk about life in terms of relationships. Who are you? What do you like? What are you doing? All relationship stuff. You know? In relation to what I'm doing, I'm standing up here. In relation to you, I'm speaking to you. I'm talking to you, trying to deliver a message. You can talk about all kinds of stuff. Scientific stuff, where I was talking about relationships. what happens when we take this chemical and mix it with that chemical, it all blows up. Relationship stuff. So you can talk about all of life in terms of relationships. In terms of relationships. And that's what God has created when He created everything. Because there was a time, right, where there was God and there was nothing else. Right? You have this idea of God and nothing else. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There's just God and nothing else. And then He creates. And one of the first things He creates is angelic beings. Angels. He creates them all. And He creates them all good. So in relation to God, He creates them all good. They are relating properly. Yes, we have good relationships. We are in agreement at this point. And then you got this one angel. And he is, well, the Bible says he's more beautiful than all the other angels. He's beautiful. This beautiful angel. In the very beginning. And this angel looks at God and for the very first time in all of however eternity, this angel, this beautiful angel, second only to God in beauty, the Bible says, he looks at God and he says, "You know what? I don't agree with you." He says, I don't like the way you've set this up. You set this up, you're the creator, you made me and stuff, but you know what? I want you to be underneath me. I think that's how it should be. I think you should be under me and I should be over you and I should be ruling on you. And so I disagree with what you're doing, this angel said. And because of that, he was punished. He was sent out of heaven and sent down, cast out of heaven, cast out of the presence of God because he didn't agree with the relationship that God had set up. I don't like that. And we call him today, we call him Satan. This is who Satan is. He's the one, he's the very first one to ever disagree with God. To say, nope, I don't like what you're talking about. He's the very first one to lie. He said, I don't like, you set this thing up, God. You set it up like this. That's the truth of the matter. I know the truth is that you are who you are and I am who I am. I don't like that truth. And I want to live a lie. I don't like what you're doing here. I want to shift the relationship into something that's inappropriate. It's called sin. I don't want to listen to you. I don't want to go by your guidelines. I don't want to agree with you. And so their sin was birthed in Satan. Evil was birthed in this Satan. And so then God creates the universe, creates matter, something out of nothing. He creates everything. And He creates man. You know the story in Genesis account. He creates the land and the water and the earth. And He creates man and woman. And He puts them in this garden, in this place of peace. When He first created everything. And then He looks at everything. God looks at everything that He created on earth and all this. And He says, that's very good. That's very good. And God created you and He created me and He created us. And He looks at you and me and He says, that's very good. That's what God says when He looks at you. That's very good. He created you very good. And then there was a time in our life, just like Adam and Eve, in the story of Adam and Eve, God sets them in the garden and He develops some relationships. He says, I'm going to relate to you in this way. I created you. You're my creation. I'm going to make this game. It's like creating a game, you know? Somebody created the game of checkers, all right? Or baseball. Somebody created that game. In the middle of the game, like I played softball last weekend, right? I hit this ball. I'm not very good. I'm not very good at softball. So I hit the ball, and I'm trying to run it out. You know, I had a little dinker. I didn't even hit it out of the infield, right? This guy scoops it up, and he throws me out. And I'm trying to run to the base, and I'm just, you know, goofy looking and everything. I can't get there. And I get to the base, and he throws me out. The ball gets there before me. He throws me out. I'm out. I turn, and I look at the umpire, and I said, I'm not out. I know the ball got there, but I'm not out. I'm going to go ahead and stay on the bag. I'm going to go ahead and keep playing. I'm going to change the rules. The rules now are, if the ball gets there before you get there, you're safe. That's the rules. Can you do that sort of thing? Can you change the rules? No, you can't change the rules. You can't change the rules of the game. You can't just come in and make up whatever rules you want. You can't just establish whatever parameters you want when it comes to relationships. Like, for example, I know Sam. I like Sam. You know? He and Sam, we've met a couple of times, coming back and forth. Wish I had an opportunity to hang with Sam more. So, but Sam and I have parameters in our relationship. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't have come in here this morning and kissed Sam on the mouth. You know what I'm saying? I just couldn't, there are parameters in our relationship. I couldn't come up and, I might could have. I don't know how he'd reacted to that. But he might not be too excited about that, you know? Because we have parameters in our relationship. What's more appropriate at this point is that I shake Sam's hand when I see him and I maybe give him a hug. But, hey, Sam, it's good to see you. You know? I can't say, you know, my new greeting is to stomp on your toe. That's my new greeting. When I see you, that's being polite for me. You would say, no, you can't do that. You can't relate to me that way. And God, when He created this whole thing, when He created this whole earth and our relationship with Him, He said there are guidelines. There are ways that we need to relate to one another. There are ways that you need to relate to one another. There are ways that you need to relate to your environment around you, the earth. To me, you have to relate to God in a certain way. Those are called, we call them commandments. You know? You shouldn't kill each other. Let's relate to each other that way. How about let's try that? Don't kill each other. As God said, I command, do not murder. It's a guideline for how we should relate to one another. Yeah? God said, I want you to have no other gods before me. These are guidelines. On Sunday, I want you to set aside that day. It's a guideline for our relationship. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to set aside that day for me, to think about me, to talk to me, to worship me, to rest in me. So I'm going to set up this guideline. And the commandments, these things that we like to call laws and rules and commandments, and sometimes we look at them and we think, man, those are bad. What they are, they're guidelines for relationships. That's what they are. They are guidelines for how we should relate to each other. And they're all over the place. When you get on the car, and when you get on the street and you're driving a car, you can't just go when the light's red. You can't do that. You get in trouble. Right? There are guidelines. We follow them every day all over the place. Guidelines for our relationships with others. So we don't hurt other people. So we don't hurt ourselves. So we have all these guidelines. And God at the beginning set up all these guidelines and the way things ought to be. And He set Adam and Eve, the first man and the first woman, in this garden. And He said, here, this is a place of peace. And I'm going to give you some guidelines. Here's your guideline. I got this one tree right here. And I don't want you to eat from it. I'm going to let you eat from all the other trees in the garden, but I'm going to ask you not to eat from this one tree right here. I showed him just in the tree. Don't eat from this tree. And Adam and Eve had to make a choice. God had created them good. They are good. They are very good. But now here they are with a choice, and they have to say, am I going to agree with God and be on His team? Am I going to say yes to God? Am I going to have the same purpose as God and agree with Him? Or am I going to be at odds with God at this point? Am I going to be an enemy of God and say, you know what? You're wrong. I know you created the game. You made the rules. I don't like the rules. I'm going to try and change the rules. Matter of fact, I want to be like you. I know you set things up. I know you set things up to where you're God and I'm the creation and you're giving me these guidelines and rules. I know you set it up that way. I don't want it that way. I want to be God. Okay? I want to be God. I'm going to do whatever I want. Okay? And you're just going to have to live with it. And that's what they said. That's what they did. They said, I don't agree with you. And they became enemies of God because God's purpose is not for you to be God, it's for Him to be God. God's purpose is for you to have this loving relationship in these parameters that He set up. Not for you to set up the parameters and do whatever you want and relate to Him whatever you want. You can't relate to God like however you want to. Just like you relate to, you can't relate to me however you want to relate to me. I won't allow that. We wouldn't be friends if you just did whatever you want. God is a person. He's a person and you have to relate to Him like He wants you to relate to Him. You can't just do whatever you want and Him be okay with it. And so, whenever God or whenever somebody says that, like if you came to me and I was like, hey, look, I know, you know, we established this relationship. This is how I want you to relate to me. And you were like, nah, I'm going to relate to you everywhere. As a matter of fact, I'm going to punch you in the arm. That's what I'm going to do. I'd be like, hey, we can't be friends. I mean, we're going to have to be enemies. I'm probably going to hit you back at this point. Right? I mean, we're about to roll bones here. The idea is that when you're in disagreement with God, when you say, no, I don't agree with that relationship. No, I don't agree with the way you created the game. I want the game to run my way. You become an enemy of God. You're somebody who has come up and You're stepping on God's toes. You're punching Him in the arm. You're slapping Him in the face. And you're saying, no, I disagree with what you're saying. I'm not on your team. I don't like what you're doing. I'm out. And you become an enemy of God, the Bible says. God doesn't want that. And so by our own choice, we take something that's good, namely you. We are good. God created us good. So valuable and so wonderful. And we take something that God created good and we mess it up by our choice. We say, no, I disagree. I'm going to sin. I'm going to choose not your way. And so at that point, when we sin, when we say, you know what? I know you don't want me to talk bad about other people. I'm going to talk bad about this person right now. I know you want me to be kind. I know you don't want me to take revenge. I know you, but right now, I'm going to be mean. And I'm going to take revenge right now. I'm going to lash out and say something ugly to this person. I'm going to wish something bad on them. I know you don't want, I know you want me to say yes and honor my mother and father. And I know you want me to obey them. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to obey my mother and father. I'm not going to listen to them. I'm not going to agree with them. I'm just going to argue with my mother and father. That's what I'm going to do. And God set up parameters and rules. So we say, I don't agree with you. I don't agree with what you're saying. Every time we sin, that's what you do. You look at God and you say, I'm not on your team. I'm not for you. I don't like the way you've done it. I'm going to do it my way. And you make yourself an enemy of the God who loves you. We've all done it. We've all done it. We've all said, I don't like what you're doing. I disagree with you. I'm going to go do it my way. I'm going to sin. I'm not going to honor you. I'm not going to keep this Sunday. I'm not going to keep it holy for you. I'm going to have all sorts of evil lusts and desires in my heart that are not what you want. And you have corruption. You live a lie. It's a lie. Because God created it truthfully to set up in a certain way. But you're living a lie. God says the truth is you ought to honor your mother and father. And you say, you know what? I'm going to live this lie. I'm not going to honor them. So we're enemies of God. Now, because we're enemies of God, because God can't look on a lie, God can't look on this behavior, this disagreement with Him, and say, that's okay. He can't do it. He can't say, I know you don't like me, I know you don't agree with me, and I know you dishonor me, but I'm going to give you the thumbs up anyway. God cannot do that. Because, I'll say this quickly, I can't explain it. The entire universe would implode and come apart if God did that. If God looked at you and your sin and said, that's okay, everything would be destroyed. Nothing would work. Everything would be over. Total chaos, complete destruction. The universe would come unraveled. I can explain that to you sometime. It's pretty big. It means a lot. God has to. He has to react to His enemies appropriately. He has to deal with sin. He has to say, I can't be okay with that. If you disagree with me, if you don't follow my guidelines, you don't want to obey my commands, I have to deal with that and I have to deal with it harshly. I have to pour out wrath on it. You're my enemy now. Okay? But God loves you because you were created good, right? He created you and He looked at you and He said, you're very good. He didn't want to destroy you. Even though you've taken something that He's created good and you've messed it all up, He doesn't want to destroy you. He loves you. And so what did He do? He said, man, this is a drag. I got this creation that I love and I want to be with them and I want to have a great relationship with them, but they don't want that from me. What am I going to do? I have to do something. I can't just sit here and say it's okay. I have to do something. I have to punish this sin. I have to react to this evil. It's evil. I have to react to it. What am I going to do? So He does two things. He creates two things. He makes two things happen before the foundation of the world. He says, what I'll do is this. One, I'll create this place called hell. It'll be bad. It'll be away from me, and it'll be for eternity. It'll be forever, and it'll be out of my presence, away from me. I create this place called hell. And if the people out there that have chosen to not agree with me, that have chosen to sin, if they can't turn and accept me, if they can't turn, I'll have to send them to hell for eternity. That's what I'll have to do. It's what I have to do. And then he did another thing. He said, I'm at this dilemma. I got this creation. I don't want them to go to hell. I love them. What am I going to do? I need to figure out a way. I need to provide a way for them. I need to provide a way for them to be right with me. They're wrong with me right now. But I need to provide a way for them to be right with me. What can I do? I have to destroy something. I have to destroy something. You hear that? That's not peace at all. That's not peace at all. He has to destroy something. And he says, what can I destroy that will be valuable enough to make it right? Something has to be destroyed. And he says, you know what? I can send my son. My son is valuable enough to make this right. I can send Christ, Jesus Christ. He can die on a cross, and His beautiful life and His beautiful blood, and it can be shed all over the place, and it can make things right. That's what I can do. So I can either destroy them for eternity in hell, or my son can die on the cross for them and make it right. Give them the opportunity to be right with me. Atone for their sins. I can take their mistakes and I can put it on Him. Then, after I pour out that wrath on Him, then I can be at peace with Him. God can be at peace with you because He poured out His wrath on Christ. Cross. All that anger, that righteous anger, that indignation that he would have when he would see sin and see his creation well up and shake its fist at him and say, no, God, I don't like you. I don't agree with you. The righteous indignation that must well up in God, where he says, I have to deal with that. He can deal with it on the cross. He can deal with it through Christ. And then he can turn back to you after he looks at Christ on the cross. He can turn back to you and me and he can say, okay, I can be okay. We can be okay. If you will accept Christ's sacrifice for you, and if you will turn to me now, he made atonement. Christ, look at him. He loves you. While we were yet sinners, God demonstrated his love for us and Christ died for us. And said, I'm going to die for you. I want you to be reconciled to God. I want you to have a relationship with God. And so I'm going to take that punishment. I'm going to take that sin that you would have gotten, that punishment that you would have gotten, because you, and I'm going to take it and I'm going to, on your place. So now you can have peace. You can have a right relationship with God now. We can start over. It can be wiped away. All those wrong things can be wiped away. All the things where you disagreed with me, they can go away. And so God has made a way for us to have peace with Him, even though we have made ourselves enemy of God. God has looked and made a way for us to have peace with Him. I'm going to read a scripture passage to you in Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 through 22. Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 through 22. God wants to have a right relationship with you. It says this, it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him. In Him is Christ. It was God's good pleasure for the fullness to dwell in Christ. That means Christ was excellent and beautiful. He was full. He was wonderful. So all this fullness dwells in Christ. And through Christ, to reconcile all things to Himself, to make it right, to reconcile to you. You've done wrong, and I want to reconcile that. I want to make it right. I want you to come to me. Bring you to me. I want to buy you back. reconcile all things to himself. Listen to this, here he goes. Having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through Jesus Christ, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, God is making peace with you through the blood of Jesus Christ. He's making peace with you. Will you make peace with him? Will you, although up until this point maybe you've said no, I disagree, will you turn to God and say yes? I don't want to be an enemy of you anymore. I don't want to disagree with you anymore. I want to say yes now, from now on. I want to say yes to you now. I want to say yes to Jesus Christ. He says, and although you were formerly alienated, although you were at one time alienated and you were hostile in mind, your mind was hostile towards God and angry and alienated from God. You were engaged in evil deeds. You had bad relationships with God and with the people around you. Yet, he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death. Jesus Christ has reconciled you. And he wants to present you before God holy and blameless and beyond reproach. He wants to present you before God and wants you to have a good relationship with God. That's why he died. He came in order that he might bring you to God. So the question is, will you stop disagreeing with God? Will you stop saying no to God and begin to say yes to God in Jesus Christ? That's the parameter, by the way. That's the rules to the relationship. He said, there's a road that leads to me, and that road is Jesus Christ. It's not another way. There is no other way. There is no one who is the fullness. There's no one who is beautiful. There's no one who is worthy enough to die for your sins. Jesus Christ is the only way. You can't go through another religion, through another anything. It has to be through Jesus. God set up the parameter. He said, if you want to come to me, it's got to be through this road. He's the only one valuable enough. So the question is, will you say yes to Christ today, tomorrow morning? What are you going to do when your mom and dad come to you and start talking to you about stuff? Because every time, and it's just one example, but every time you dishonor your mother and father, you say no to God. Every time you badmouth somebody else and you gossip, you say no to God. So the question is, are you going to start saying yes to Jesus? Are you going to say, yes, I want to be a friend of God? Are you going to have peace with God in your life? And that's where it all begins. If you don't have peace with God, you won't have peace at all. How do you have peace with God? Well, you ask Him. That's all. It's as simple as that. You receive Jesus Christ. You say, you know what? I don't want to be an enemy anymore. I want to be on your side. I want to be on your team. I want to be with you. I want to love you and know you. And you say, I confess to you that I'm an enemy, that I'm a sinner, that I've made mistakes, but I want to repent and I want to be with you. Have you done that? You ever done that? You ever talked to God and said, I'm sorry that I sinned against you? I'm sorry that I told you no and that I disagree with you. You ever do that? That's how you start. If you have an enemy in your life because you've done something wrong with them, how are you going to get back with them? That's the first thing you got to do. You got to walk up and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I did that. It's the same way with God. You got to walk up and you got to say, God, I'm sorry. Have you ever done that? Have you ever walked up and said, God, I'm sorry. I want to have a relationship with you and I want it to be a good one. And I want to come to you and I believe in Jesus and I want to accept Jesus and His sacrifice and His blood, His death on the cross. I accept it. And I say yes to Him. You ever said yes to God? If you haven't, I would encourage you. That's it. That's the beginning of your relationship. The beginning of peace in your life. Saying yes to God through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us your word, and I pray that we would have understanding of your message. We have ears to hear and eyes to see, and that we wouldn't be blind to our sin and the unrest and the unpeace and the chaos that's in our life. And we ask that you would bring us to yourself. And I confess to you in all the places that I don't have peace in my life. And I confess to you my sin. Say that I mess up, and I want peace in my life, and I want you in my life. And I ask that you would forgive me of the whenever I say no to you and I disagree with you and I make mistakes and I'm mean to others and not thankful to you and all those things. And I need you to help me. And I want to have a good relationship with you, and I accept Christ and his death. And thank you, and I know that you're a good dad. And I pray that you would become a good father, a good daddy to those in this room. If there's somebody in this room that doesn't have a good earthly dad, that you would become their good heavenly dad. If they don't have good brothers and sisters, that you'd become a good brother for them, Christ. If they don't have a great earthly mother, that you would become their mother. And you would take them in. Thank you for making a way for us, Christ. I pray if anyone's in this room that they would say yes to you, and they would apologize, and they would come to you and want a relationship with you. And we know that you'll accept us when we do. We know that you'll accept us and that you love us because you sent your son to die for us. You wanted to make a way for us. We're excited about that. We say yes to you. We say amen. We say yes to you and your plan, your relationships, your guidelines, your purposes. We say yes to you, Father. And we say yes to you through Jesus Christ. And everyone said amen.